503. We'll hear more from Scotty later. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, speaking of shows, by the way, I still never played the ovary grabber from yesterday. Whatever her name is, Kathleen something or other. The woman that's darned entertaining, according to her press kit. We'll play a little bit of that. 503-733-2970. Later on, we have CNN radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum from New York City. Scott Daly's going to be here to review the new movie Zodiac. And we'll talk about some of the 970 greatest things ever submissions that we'll be getting. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time once again. Pay heed!
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
We'll have full coverage on the funeral of Anna Nicole Smith. A goddess gets her wings in just a moment.
No, it didn't.
Did you say, is that yours?
That's mine.
Okay.
Somebody steal it from me, but I made it up myself.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much for this really is genius. I'm going to get my candle in the wind music ready.
That's what every day.
Can I have a weekend radio program?
Oh, it's genius.
All right. Oh, my goodness. Meanwhile, Portland police are investigating the shooting of a man in the groin at a strip club overnight. Happened in Southeast at Tommy's Tavern, Southeast 35th Avenue and Powell, just after midnight. A fight broke out inside this gentleman's club.
Okay, can I stop for you for just 1 second? Mm-hmm. Okay, Tommy's.
This isn't Tommy's Hamburger Joint.
No.
Well, we don't have that anymore anyway.
No. Okay, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No,
I was going home late last night.
And you're banged.
I drove by Tommy's on the way home. Mm-hmm. And I made, this is like a dream you forget you have until something triggers it. I meant to write this down and make a note to myself when I got home last night. And I forgot. I drove by Tommy's on the way home, and it was surrounded by cop cars and police tape. And I meant to say, hey, what's that all about?
But you didn't have to.
This is what it's all about.
I dig a little bit deeper.
Exactly.
Or a little bit more.
I'm sorry. So go ahead. So a man shot in the groin at
Tommy's. That's right. During the fight, a 30-year-old man allegedly shot a 28-year-old man in the groin.
Ugh.
The gunman and the victim fled on foot, but were caught by police a short time later. Both taken to OHSU with non-life-threatening injuries. The name of the two men not yet been released. We don't know the extent of injury to the groin.
So, shot in the junk at a strip club.
Yes.
There's going to be
Tommy's Tavern.
There's a fantastic. Is that what they? It's a strip club, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a fantastic story behind that. I mean, how can there not be? It's a strip club. It's sleazy.
If you were there last night, call us immediately.
Yeah, it's in Southeast, and there's a guy getting shot in the penis.
Mm-hmm.
It has all the makings of being a fan. It has all the makings of being the new Isn't That Right donkey.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody knows what happened, if you were at Tommy's last night, which is right by Dina Cola's, if you know where that is, it's like on about 34th. It's right by the Motel 6. That's going to be by design.
Nick the Cocktails and Dreams.
By design. You can call us and let us know. That's fantastic.
All right. A Vernonia mailman under arrest, Ronald Richard Birkin Jr., has been indicted on charges of not just delivering mail, but delivering marijuana, sometimes in his mail truck. Apparently distributed, allegedly, pound quantities of the drug to underage buyers in the Cedar Mill area of Washington County over a period of years. His arrest follows months of investigation by the U.S. Postal Authorities, the Office of Inspector General, the Washington County Interagency Narcotics Team, and the Lake Oswego Police Department. He's been arraigned in federal court, free to order to return next Tuesday. Set for May 1st.
I think about that a lot, actually, about the whole weird subculture that exists, and not the shadow economy that exists solely to ferry drugs around. It really is pretty amazing. I don't mean to sound as though I am praising farriers of narcotics. I'm simply saying, it really is pretty stunning when you think about it. Because many of you, there are people perhaps that I know in my social or personal life who may or may not enjoy the use of intoxicants from now and again. And I always think about those, let's just put it this way. Like all of you, I have in my life known a couple of people who seriously can't go more than 20 minutes without getting high. And I always wonder, and I guess perversely admire, their ability to just get that stuff with, how do you fly somewhere? That's why I'm glad I don't have some sort of a crippling drug dependency, because how would you ever take an airplane? I mean, I really do wonder about that. And please don't call up and tell me, because I don't really want anybody on the air describing how to get your weed through airport security.
Well,
I wonder about
just,
that a
it's
lot.
It's rituals. It's completely ritualistic, like once every couple hours. They'll just, you know, do their thing. It's weird.
I know people that
that's
it's
a,
like...
That's a commitment.
I know people that it does, like, they don't know. It's like that 10 o'clock, it's 10 p.m., where are your children? I know people where it's like, it's been 20 minutes. Do you know where your bong is or whatever? And I always think about, you know, when they go, well, I gotta fly to South Carolina for a week. And I think about, like, if you're some guy that's got, like, a drug thing, will you fly to a city? Like, is there some sort of online network or whatever? So, like, as soon as you land, you can, like, find a guy that, like, sells you your, you know, whatever it is you need? Or is it, like, is it special, like you buy Maxwell Smart shoes that have, like...
Somebody leaning up against the post with a fedora smoking a cigarette?
Hey, you want a reefer, kid?
Howard, you like being a Snoopy with Mickey?
Let's go see Cab Calloway. All right, well, I don't think we're talking about it. It's strange is what it is, though. Anyway, here's Tim Riley.
An armed robber who took off on his bike has been arrested thanks to the help of witnesses who chased him down. This happened in Salem at True Value Hardware. Apparently, the suspect went in, stole and loaded a rototiller on his bicycle trailer, and then pedaled away. He was chased into the parking lot of a Safeway in the 4900 block of River Road North, where he was caught by a citizen. However, when the citizen attempted to detain the bicycle robber, later identified as Joseph Michael Cutter, he reportedly pulled out a knife, got back on the bike, and rode away. Soon, police, accompanied by a tracking dog, found the bike hidden under a blanket on the side of a residence and found Cutter inside and arrested him. The rototiller was returned to True Value Hardware store.
Fantastic. Rototillers are great. There needs to be not enough rototilling in today's modern horror films either. There needs to be some sort of a slasher film in which there's a gruesome rototiller introduced death. Here's Tim Riley.
And now, I wish we had some music for this. We begin our coverage.
Oh, wait.
Of the funeral of Anna Nicole Smith. A goddess gets her wings.
Oh, man.
Oh, is my computer up?
No, but it is now.
Anna Nicole Smith, her coffin covered with a rhinestone-studded blanket, and her portrait on a church altar, was mourned by a family and friends this morning during a funeral service before a white limousine took her body away. The mahogany coffin was carried into the white column Mount Horag Baptist Church as hundreds of tourists and fans watched behind steel barricades guarded by Bahamian police. Someone in the crowd cried out, "Anna, Anna, we love you." Her mother, Bergie, arrived in a white stretcher limousine with an entourage of about 10. She wore a tasteful black dress and waved to the cheering crowd. Smith's casket was closed and the pews were festooned with pink flowers. There were fewer than 100 guests, even though organizers said there'd be 300. And apparently, guitarist Slash of Guns N' Roses was among the guests, as was country star Joe Nichols. Country star Joe Nichols?
Do you think that song, Tequila, makes her clothes fall off?
Mm-hmm. He was to sing two songs requested by Smith's boyfriend, Howard K. Stern, "I'll Wait For You," and Dolly Parton, "On the Wing of a Dove."
Smith's body was taken.
Be waiting a long time. Smith's body was taken to Lakeview Memorial Gardens for a private burial with a smaller group of guests.
I'm waiting a week, and then I'm getting the shovel.
And now, Howard K. Stern offers up a eulogy during the funeral of Anna Nicole Smith, a goddess gets her wings.
For Anna, today you are going home to Daniel in the Bahamas and in heaven.
Howard K. Stern said Anna Nicole mourned her son Daniel's death daily.
The only thing that she couldn't overcome was the death of her son. Daniel was the world to her.
Anna Nicole had haunted dreams of her dead son.
The day that Anna passed, she had nightmares that Daniel was lost and that he needed help, that he didn't know what to do.
Bahamian attorney Godfrey Pinder came to pay his respects to Anna Nicole.
I only came by to offer his condolences to the family on his behalf and on behalf of Fort Shelley. He is very saddened by the death of Anna Nicole Smith. He never really wanted her to die, especially in this way and at such a tender age.
That's mighty white of him. I never really wanted you to die.
But it does happen, doesn't it? Then we have Joe Lynn Smith. Anna Nicole's former sister-in-law, she thinks Anna Nicole's wishes have been met.
I think that she wants to be thanks for son Daniel and how his son has taken great care of Mickey all these years, and this is the right thing.
Then she was buried in the ground. Anna Nicole Smith, a goddess gets her wings.
Loneliness was tough, so selfish to a few. Ever short, Playboy created a superstar, and the pain was the price you paid. Even before you died, the course they still found is you, and then the papers had a say.
Came by to offer his condolences to the family on his behalf and on behalf of Fort Shelley. He is very saddened by the death of Anna Nicole Smith. He never really wanted her to die at such a mistake at such a tender age.
Goodbye, Anna Nicole, so I never
okay, we're done. We have to stop. Because we're just going to sit and do that all day. All right. It's 503-733-2970.
Tim Riley is my God.
No, it's true.
That's all.
It's right there. That's going on the station composite. It's 503-733-2970. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Barack Obama's ancestors owned slaves. So says the Baltimore Sun. It says an ancestry report compiled by Williams Adams Rheinhauser, whoever he is, says one of Obama's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers owned two slaves in Kentucky, so there. And the research shows one of Obama's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers owned two slaves. That reported slave owners were forebears of Obama's white mother from Kansas. Obama's father was from Kenya. Adams, recent hour, practices genealogy in his spare time, wherever he is. This report on his website has a disclaimer that says it's only his first draft. He'll look more closely to find out if they really did own slaves after all.
He'll look into it and see if it's actually, you know, true and so forth. All right, Rick, about Tommy's Tavern. Tommy's Tavern is awful, says this email. This is his opinion. Worst strip club ever. No, that's not true. It can't be worse than that Dino's place.
Oh, it can't be worse
I've always wanted to go to Dino's.
Than the back swing or the back door. This place I'm going to out in, like, 100
Does the back door offer everything but sex?
It's true. It's a distinguished place.
Because then you can't get sex there.
It was really sad.
Oh, maybe it's one of those lingerie shops.
Hold on, I'm clarifying now.
Yes, they have everything but sex.
At the door, no,
it's all stockings.
At the back door, which is a strip, it's a strip club where you can see the girls, but they will not engage in sexual intercourse with you. So therefore, at the back door, you can get everything but sex.
Exactly. It was so sad. No, I have to tell you, it's like you're in like this little basically like portable looking thing, you know, like and there are chairs all around, and then there's this one, like, it looks like the top of a table's been cut off and set on the floor, and the women were just, it was unfortunate.
Yeah, well, like I said, that Dino's place, which, although that's gone now, isn't Dino's turned into something else?
Yeah, now it's called the Hawthorne Strip, I guess.
Yeah, but is it still the same thing?
I don't know, dude.
Now, I had heard that Dino's was a lesbian strip club. And if so, that doesn't really speak well for the aesthetic taste of most lesbians. Because that's the worst place I've ever seen in my life.
One of the girls that I went to my Starbucks classes with, I went to Dino's for a birthday party. She was dancing there.
Oh, really?
It was so awkward.
She was a classmate of yours?
No, well, when you start at Starbucks, you have to go to, like, these training sessions.
She was a strip. When you start at Starbucks, they make you go up and
they start you
shake
Dino.
Your rack for the crowd.
In your apron.
Now, you're going to need to show me your bosoms.
And I hadn't seen her in a long time, and I assumed she was still working there, and then, no.
Oh, hello, Crystal.
Yeah. Hello, boobs.
It's like, this is such a dumb cliche. But it's true. When I was, I went to broadcasting school for a little while. It was a few months, but I kind of dropped out and moved on. But there was a girl.
You didn't need it.
No, I didn't. There was a girl who was going to broadcasting school with me, and it's the old joke about stripping to put yourself through college. Except it was like so many notches below that, because she was stripping to put herself through radio college, through radio school. And she danced inside one of those. Inside of one of those little, like, glass boxes at a porno shop where, like, you put in a quarter and, like, the thing goes... And the window
goes... Is that, like, the money machine?
When it blows all the dollars.
Exactly.
So they just take the money out and put the girl in.
Yeah, she was in like a plexiglass box, and like guys would go in and put in like a quarter, and like the curtain, the metal curtain would go up, and she would like gyrate around for 4 minutes, and then the thing would set. And that's it, man. So yeah, she was a real go-getter. All right, here's Tim Rath.
Well, I was talking about this twister. I guess there's several of them in these southern states, particularly in Enterprise, Alabama. As many as 8 people died there when they took shelter in a school building which was ripped apart by a twister. One substitute teacher said it happened very fast.
The ceiling fell in. The ceiling and the windows flying. A lot of people were cut, but I don't know any other things about it, but it was. It didn't last about 10 seconds.
A lot of people were cooked?
Yeah. I think that's a slang in the South.
Okay.
All right. Well, whatever. Meanwhile, Pastor Mike Schroes says he was in the school picking up his daughter Brooke when the tornado suddenly slammed into the building.
About the time I approached the front of the school, one of the police ladies was out front screaming, "The tornado's on the way, get in here, get in here." So I ran in and contacted Brooke by phone and made sure she was secure in the school. She was too far away from me to try to risk running.
So the president found out about this, and he will tour these tornado areas tomorrow.
I go down with a heavy heart. I go down knowing full well that I'll be seeing people whose lives were turned upside down by the tornadoes.
Right, we'll have to get some sort
tornadoes.
Of a, we'll need to get some sort of a slogan and a banner to put behind him. Stat.
He's going
to
offer comfort the best he can.
I ask our nation, for those who are prayerful, to give a prayer for the victims of the storms, and ask for the blessings of that can come upon people and the comfort necessary to deal with the recent tragedy.
He almost said the blessings of Cthulhu. That's he had to catch himself right there. Okay, well, whatever.
Well, he's in New Orleans reassuring the people down there that they have not been forgotten.
So I'll come back to New Orleans,
where?
Louisiana,
New Orleans.
To remind people that the federal government still knows you exist, still knows you have issues, and wants to work with your leadership to address those issues.
Maybe he could ask God just not to send any more tornadoes. I mean, why you got him on the phone?
They should just move.
Yeah. Send them, as Tim Kinison once said, don't send them aid, just send them U-Hauls. Rick, about Tommy's. Apparently a lot of people got. I ordered 3 drinks. The bartender came back and said, "We're all out of the vodka, all out of the rum, and also all out of the whiskey. Sorry." And the strippers, OMG, exclamation mark. Saggy everything, saggy belly, stretch marks, facial hair, bad smell, the whole works. One of them even went into a big rant directed at anybody within earshot about how she used to work in Vegas 30 years ago. She had to be 50. Oh, good God almighty. See, people who knock Mary's strip club don't know what they're talking about. Mary's is a fine place with lovely girls. Not so much some of these other places. These other places.
Lovely girls. These sounded a little crazy.
No, I'm just saying, the girls here are very attractive.
They're very lovely.
With lovely young lasses. This is a game I've never played before. I have no problem with any of the girls I've ever seen in America. They've all been very attractive. I'm just saying, these other places, though, some of these other strip clubs, like Dino's, are what Mary's people. They are what people think Mary's is. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So the president tells everyone down in the South, don't worry, help is on the way.
First of all, there is money in the pipeline that I hope will help improve lives. And if it is stuck because of, you know, unnecessary bureaucracies, our responsibility at the federal, state, and local level is to unstick it.
Right.
It's to make
Scotty
sure that it keeps moving.
Scotty, if you would please.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to death, squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J, hello, sir. How are you? Now, we're following Scotty J's...
doing great.
Scotty J, the evolution of Scotty J as he attempts to put... Now, are you putting together an overview of what your theoretical weekend show would be?
Yeah, but it's going to take some time. Oh. I got to put together my dream team that's going to be with me in studio.
Are you going to have some people there to chuckle at
you? Your dream team?
Yeah.
What would your dream team consist of?
Kristen Bowie at the helm.
Moving on. Does Kristen know this?
No.
It's okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, a little chloroform, she'll do anything. All right. I'm just curious, because as we move throughout the day, you have said this. Scotty said to me this morning, he said that he feels that he needs a weekend show to counterbalance what is said on the rest of the radio station during the week. And so we're attempting to feel out and discover the facets and nuances of Scotty J's belief system. So Tim was just playing, was that New Orleans or Alabama where Bush was?
Let's see, he's in...
in Alabama. That was
the tornado. I go down with a heavy heart.
All right.
I go down knowing full well that I'll be seeing people whose lives were turned upside down by the tornadoes.
All right. Yeah, I love that guy.
It sounds like he's saying tomato.
I mean, that is funny.
I ask our nation for those who are prayerful to give a prayer for the victims of the storms and ask for the blessings that can come upon people and the comfort necessary to deal with the recent tragedy.
So
that's
so,
not supposed to be funny, Scotty.
Yeah, when they turn the mics off, he's like, clean this crap up around me, too.
So my question is, why don't you believe that the government should help people who were victimized by tornadoes?
Oh, I never said I didn't.
Well, no, but you don't, clearly.
No, absolutely.
Because you don't believe that the government...
Natural disasters and things like that, absolutely we would help.
So, all right, so the government should help people when something happens to them that they can't pay for.
My views are this. The liberals are more...
So easy. Yes?
It's easy to pick me apart.
No, I'm saying, do you believe...
The liberals are all about, give me more stuff, the world sucks, I deserve everything. And the Republicans are like, work your ass off and you'll get paid for it and you'll, you know, there you go.
But I'm just curious, though. Do you believe that, for someone's just sitting there... Living a decent life, being upstanding, tornado comes along, bam.
Yes.
You believe the government should pay for that.
Well, we should help out with that. And let me put it this way. When the tsunamis hit, I myself donated money.
So when something happens to somebody that is beyond their control that impacts them, then the government does have a responsibility to help.
I'm not saying it's their responsibility, but I'm
saying
as taxpayers, they should. And they will.
Okay.
Yes.
So, for example, if someone is stricken by disease and has no health care.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
So the government...
Now, I've never been against that. I've never been against the elderly, the poor, these type of people
These people weren't necessarily elderly or poor, so you can't start putting limitations on them now.
Right.
So you believe that if someone, you know, if someone is 28, bam, cancer, the government should take care of that?
Well, first of all, that person is 28, bam, cancer. Why didn't they have insurance to begin with? That's just the question.
Because maybe they work in radio and can't afford insurance.
Maybe they can't afford it.
True.
So
yeah, absolutely, there would be programs in place for that. But
okay, so
that's socialism.
Socialism
is this.
I don't want my money going to them.
They believe socialism is basically everybody has the same, everybody earns the same, everybody belongs to the same union. I mean, it's just
I don't
one
really
great
know anybody who's advocating. Who do you know that's a socialist?
Who do I know that's a socialist?
Yeah, you're complaining about like
liberals have socialist values. They do.
Who do you know that's a socialist?
Who do I know personally that's a socialist?
Here's the thing.
I don't hang out with socialists.
No, here's what I'm saying.
Everybody I hang out with is a capitalist that likes to earn money and invest their money and is doing very well. I surround myself by people that
except
are doing
for
well.
People in this room.
Except for
us. Here's what I'm saying, though. I'm saying you're saying that we're being threatened by socialists. That's kind of like saying that we're being threatened by giant goblins.
Mm-hmm.
When is the last time you saw a socialist running something or running for election?
Hillary Clinton's running for election right now, and she wants to take Exxon's profits, which is an American profitable company. That's what America is all about, being profitable. She wants to take those profits and dump them into somewhere. They're not her profits to be taking, number one. And if she wanted a part of those profits to disperse in any way that she wants, she should have invested in the stocks, because they did like some $10 billion in revenues.
All right.
Last year.
All right. So do you or do you not believe...
Here's what I just want to add to that.
Curious.
I don't believe Exxon owes you or me anything.
You came into that all pissed off about Exxon for some reason.
Because that was a big issue with Hillary. So,
all right. All right. So you do believe, though, that the government should be giving money to the tornado victims?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a way to be clear and concise about my beliefs and how to talk about them. So that's one issue. You know, I agree that if people are poor and don't have health care, we're not going to let them just die.
Awfully Christian of you.
Well, thank
you. We're not going to let them just die. Thank you.
So
you do believe that people who don't have health care should be taken care of.
Right, but I don't believe it's the government's responsibility to provide health care for everybody in the nation as a whole. If you're capable of working, then you should be able to either get it through your job, or B, afford your own health plan to whatever your needs might be. You might, there's a lot of people out there that are super healthy, work for Intel, for example. They have the most monstrous healthcare program in the world, and half of them don't even use it. So imagine if we were paying you the money that they were paying into that healthcare program for you to invest on your own and gain money.
Dude, what you're saying, Sadie, is actually insulting to me, because, you know what, I do work a job, but I don't have enough money out of my pocket to be able to pay for healthcare, so I don't have it. So, I mean, is that my fault? That the job that I choose to work doesn't pay me enough in order for me to afford health care at the cost that it is?
Well, that might sound kind of rude for me to even answer this question, but we all make our own choices. And when you made the choice to take this job, you knew that it didn't have the health care program, so you have to look for other alternative ways to fill that. That's the thing. I don't have health care either working in this job. I'm lucky enough to be covered on the other side of my wife. She covers me, but I'd be, you know, this job isn't the highest paying job in the world. I'd be paying for it on my own, and I'd have to figure out a way or make a life decision on what I'm doing for work to figure out, you know, how I'm going to, you know, pay for my health care or whatever, the things that are important.
So you believe that it's the government's responsibility to help people when they're hit by tornadoes, but not by cancer?
God, I love how you twist the stuff.
It's a question.
I believe that if a person is poor, there should be programs that...
You keep saying a program, but the question is, that's the government paying for it. That's what it is. However you want to dress it up, right? That's the government paying for it. That's socialism.
Yes,
I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to have it. Not in my world.
It is. And there are ways of addressing people who are poor and do not have health care.
What are those ways?
But we're talking general society. In the general society, liberal belief is that everybody should have the same program, right?
Well, the liberal
health care, for instance.
The liberal belief is that if you become ill, that you should be able to be treated.
Now, the thing about Republicans are we're all about working hard on our own.
Yes, bootstraps and so forth.
Okay. Republicans are more like bigger taxes, more socialistic programs.
Republicans are?
No, the Democrats, sorry. Uh-huh. Republicans are for small government and make as much money as you can and invest wisely.
They're for small government.
Capitalism.
Republicans are for small government.
Yeah, absolutely. Smaller government.
So, for example, they're...
Don't talk about the war and that costing billions of dollars. So that's
so Republicans are, for example, fewer restrictions on people.
Exactly.
Applying to your personal life, for example.
Yes.
So Republicans are opposed to fewer restrictions on your personal behavior.
Okay. Now, wait a second now.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans...
Are Republicans for fewer restrictions on your personal life?
Yes.
For example, what substances you inject?
Well, for instance, they're the ones that brought up this Social Security issue and how to fix that.
I'm saying, let's say in terms of one's personal behavior, you believe the Republicans are more, for fewer restrictions on your personal behavior.
Well, I can see where you're going with this because George Bush is...
Now, where would I be going with this?
Well, the marijuana issues and also abortion.
Did I say
George Bush is against that, so I guess you could call that government. But that's just his beliefs, and we voted for him.
I guess I could call that government.
Well, I didn't vote for him.
He's like against, he's pro-choice. I mean, he's pro... He's
you might want to work these little details out as you try to put together this this weekend program. All right. We'll check in again later. Thank you. Okay. We'll do this once an hour. It's 503-733-2900. Are we overtime? I'm sorry. We're consuming the news hour with this. I apologize, Tim.
That's okay. I enjoy the conversation.
It seemed appropriate when George Bush was under giving our tax dollars to people who weren't smart enough to move away from where the tornadoes come.
Every month! Our nation, for those who are prayerful, to give a prayer for the victims of the storms and ask for the blessings that can come to all people and the comfort necessary to deal with the recent tragedy that happened.
Back after this, kids, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. The Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503. The irony is I don't think any of us in this room are even Democrats.
I'm not.
I don't even vote. 503.
I made the mistake of voting and then I got
called jury duty.
The government has nothing to do with me.
It's but Rick, for the love of God, this email. I listen to your show because it's informative, intelligent, and hilarious. Scotty is none of these things. Please, more Tim and less read no Scotty. It's 503-733-2970. I'm sorry. That consumed a lot of the news hour. Tim, I apologize.
Not at all. I enjoy differing points of view.
Don't we all? I love the idea, too, that Scotty's like, I'm going to have a... Now, I'm trying to talk like George Bush. So I'm going to have a cohort that's going to co-host with me. All right. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
So hear about this. The bus accident back east in Atlanta. Atlanta police say the bus driver and his wife were among six people killed when a charter bus crashed on I-75 in Atlanta this morning. Four members of the Bluffton University baseball team were also killed when the bus driver took the high-occupancy vehicle ramp and did not stop at the end of the ramp.
Apparently took a bit of a right turn in an attempt to negotiate.
Apparently.
Failed to do it successfully, striking the opposite retaining wall of the bridge of Northside Drive. After crossing six lanes of traffic.
Jesus.
Yes, there's going to be some drug and alcohol tests.
This, of course, will include routine testing for alcohol and drugs, although I want to emphasize there is no indication that that is in play in this incident.
So this is what is sort of fell off an overpass? Is that the deal?
Smash right through it.
Oh, so there's some video clip I've got. I think it's like in St. Louis or something of a guy at a high-speed chase. The cops are chasing a guy in an SUV, and he, as I guess, fails to navigate the turn a bit and just launches himself right off an overpass onto the ground, which is about 40 feet below, and then it just flattens that guy like he was made out of dough. Antonio, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Last night about that shooting.
At Tommy's. Yes, on Powell.
Well, are you sure it was at Tommy's? Because I happen to actually live right between both of those on a third floor apartment. And I can, if I look to the west, I can see the back parking lot of the Sahara or whatever that is. It used to be docked. And if I look to, the opposite way.
Oh, the Safari. Okay.
Right. Safari. That's what it is. But anyways, after midnight, I heard those shots. And I heard cops then, and I could see, ambulance and stuff in the parking lot of the Safari Club, and I could hear police, racing up Powell towards Tommy.
Well, there's always police racing up Powell towards something. It was Tommy's, and the only reason I know that is because I drove by Tommy's on the way home last night, pretty late, and it was ringed, as they say, with police tape, and there were cops everywhere.
Was the ambulance there, though? Because the ambulance was over at the Safari.
Well, see, because the Safari's not the... Is Safari the place that used to be Docks?
Yes.
Okay. This was not that. This is Tommy's.
It's like the big red building on the corner.
It's the color of a barn. Yeah, it's a big red building, and it has that funky sign with that weird 70s font.
And the sign is falling off.
Yes.
People walk by and rip it down.
Yes, it is. So it's not the Safari. Safari's a... No, the Safari's a little more upscale than that.
There was an ambulance in the parking lot down there last.
Well, maybe it's an entirely separate shooting. All right.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
All right.
What's going on in our neighborhood? That's what I want to know.
The same thing.
There's always something.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing that's always going on in our neighborhood, my friend.
And you know what? And I know how you were talking about the Hawthorne Strip, which used to be Dino's.
Yes.
I know a girl, I think she dances at Mary's, too. So sometimes those girls that dance down there dance downtown.
Well, it might have improved since it became the Hawthorne Strip.
Yeah, it hasn't been Dino's for a couple months now.
Well, it has improved. I used to work right next to there, and I'd go in there once in a while for lunch and... which they didn't really have any food, but, whatever I was doing there. But, they changed it around during the time that I was going in there, and it is much nicer now.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, there you go. All right.
So you go in there for lunch, but they serve no food.
Seriously. And, I mean, if there's ever a floor you don't want to eat anything off of, the floor at Dino's. I mean, seriously. Dip yourself in a bath of acid when you leave that place. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Chris, apply directly to forehead. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt plan to adopt a Vietnamese baby.
Angelina Jolie plans to adopt Brad Pitt. Shrugs and begins to weep silently. So.
Apparently, they received Vietnamese adoption papers a few days ago. They're asking for permission to adopt a child from that poverty-stricken country.
I was just going to say, the Vietnamese adoption papers, what could that possibly consist? Just a big X carved in a piece of bark?
Probably.
Here you go. Take it.
And because the couple are not married, the paperwork must be filed under her name alone. It'll take a few months for them to consider the application, and that Jolie will be treated like any other American who wants to adopt a child from Vietnam.
Whatever that means. because there's
we'll
endless,
welcome with open arms.
There's an endless line of them. I can't wait. I, for one, welcome our new Vietnamese children.
Jolie and Peter also, we know what else they adopt.
They've got a whole zoo of kids, don't they? That place is just like, it's like,
they have a monopoly of caring. That's what they have.
They do. I mean, it's like they've got the United Colors of Benetton over there. They've got one of everything, I think. So, or maybe
they need a little Indian child, because Maddox is already Vietnamese, right?
I don't know.
I think so.
Maddox? What is Chehalis, or whatever that baby? What is that?
Zahira.
Oh, some African country.
And then there's a good God-fearing white child in there somewhere, isn't there?
That's their own that she called a blob and said she didn't love as much as the other ones.
It's a pasty white blob. It's like a little doughboy.
It's the schmoo.
Popping fresh.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Say, is your spouse constantly late?
Yes.
It's difficult for them to make plans with you.
Uh-huh.
Do you sometimes think they're not listening to you?
Yeah.
While many people have these problems, if they are severe, they can be signs that someone you love might have adult attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
We have probably at least 8 million adults with this disorder, most of them unrecognized, and it's a very real and treatable disorder, and we can really change lives by helping people understand that's what's going on in their relationship.
What are the symptoms of this?
They have difficulty paying attention, so that they may appear like they're not listening, or they get distracted during conversations. They may be impulsive in that they say things without thinking, so it's kind of in their mind, out their mouth, and they say, oh, I wish I hadn't said that.
I have all of these symptoms. Is this a Cleveland Clinic person?
It doesn't say what clinic she works for. That's Dr. Patricia Quinn, medicine woman.
All right.
You were on that show.
I was.
You had a handlebar mustache, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Was it
in a cowboy hat?
A thick Western proper, a thick dignified mustache is what you had.
Yes.
All right. Well, I have all of those symptoms, but it really isn't. It's not. It's just because I'm really not listening, and I'm not listening, and I don't care about most of the conversations that are directed my way at any given point in time. People talk to me, and I sort of nod in the back of my head. I'm off somewhere, sitting underneath a tree. All right.
As it should be.
Yes.
A teacher in Milan, that's in Italy, is under criminal investigation for allegedly using scissors to cut the tongue of a second grader for talking in class.
Ooh.
He's a 7-year-old boy and he needs 6 stitches in his tongue.
Well, she didn't cut it off then.
No.
All right.
The teacher's only 22. She's investigated for suspicious voluntary harm to the boy.
Well,
teacher is why I don't have children.
They are a hot-blooded people. They're a passionate people over there. Oh, because you'd do it. You totally would.
Yeah, you and I would have children in kennels. You know it's true.
I'd just stitch his mouth right shut. All right, here's Tim Riley.
As it should be. Meanwhile,
the best show ever.
From Largo, Florida comes word. The city commission there voted to begin the process of firing a top official less than a week after he announced plans to pursue a sex change operation. It was a 5-2 vote, starting a 3-step process to remove city manager Steve Stanton from a job.
Oh, so not even a 3-step process to remove something else.
Oh, no, that could be done in one, especially in those Mexican hospitals. He was confirmed last week that he is a transsexual. With a solid reputation as a forceful and energetic leader, he hoped to keep his $140,000 a year job. Wow. As he underwent a gender reassignment process.
I wonder if healthcare pays for that.
It's just painful. To know 7 days ago I was a good guy and now I have no integrity, said he. That's that.
Well, okay. There you go. Well, we've talked, I'm pretty sure that we've talked, was it on this show or was I with Cord and Fab or something? We're talking about, it seems like we know a disproportionate number of people who have had sex change operations. Was that you guys I was having that discussion with?
I only know one person.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe this was a dinner conversation that you used to inside.
At Scotty's house.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of people with sex change operations.
Well, I don't know a lot. It wasn't that I know a lot of people who've had sex change operations. It's that maybe it is the entertainment industry. It is that
we know a lot of whimsical, charismatic people.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, that it was the group of people in a room, and we were having this conversation, and the bulk of the people in the room knew at least one person who'd had a sex change operation. And I won't identify who this is. But Tim, was it you that I was talking to about there's a person who works in the industry?
Yes.
Okay, that's okay. So we're talking about that person.
Yes.
And then there's another guy There's a guy I know, also in radio, who I haven't talked to for years. But it's like one day he was Steve, and the next day he was like, what happened to
Stephanie?
Steve?
Yeah,
exactly what it is. His name was Stephanie. And it was like, I actually had worked with him at one point. It's just one of those things that... radio must just, it must be the radio, the entertainment industry, where that sort of thing is just, you know, fewer eyes are batted at that sort of a thing. Here is Tim Riley.
Well,
what happened to your voice over there?
It sounded like Dennis Pitzenbugger all of a sudden.
Black mold.
Meanwhile, after lying down the road behind the wheel of a tractor trailer, Adrian Apgar kicked up his shoes, sat on a rock along the Lake Parker shoreline, and enjoyed a cigarette. It was a place he visited perhaps 100 times before. But his plans to kill time before beginning a new workday took a traumatic turn when he heard a growl. And he saw an alligator's mouth rushing toward him. He tried to run, but he wasn't fast enough. The gator clenched onto his groin area and his butt spots.
Everyone cut their legs right now.
Should we bail out of this now, or should we continue? The little pre-read followed by the shudder.
This show has been disgusting today.
This is the best show ever today.
Oh. Well, when deputies rescued him at 4 a.m., he was naked and told them he had been smoking crack cocaine. Hospital staff said his left arm had to be amputated and he was missing a large portion of his left buttock.
Anyone who has seen McClintock's buttocks is encouraged to call the local authorities. Was he nude when this happened?
Yes.
Why was he nude again?
He was smoking crack cocaine.
Why do you have to be? Never mind. Maybe he was storing the crack cocaine in an unusual place. Oh, my God, that's fantastic. I mean, not so much for him, but for the rest of us. Okay, well, there you go. It's going to be hard to smoke crack with one arm now, isn't it, Lefty? All right. We'll just continue this. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a study by online marketing research firm Complete Incorporated suggests you won't be willing to pay $500 for Apple's upcoming iPhone. And that in order to get users to switch to the AT&T, the price will have to come down dramatically. Here's what the study found. And we're all interested. 26% of the interested respondents say they will likely buy an iPhone, but only 1% say they'd be willing to pay $500. Well, that makes sense. A number of interested parties increased to 42% of the price drop between $200 and $299. Other researchers have suggested...
Two stories got really mixed up here.
Ready for the next sentence of this story?
Yes. Researchers have suggested
that the feet and the genitals occupy the same region of the brain, and therefore they might overlap. That's the next line in this story. Now, I didn't organize this today.
That Steve Jobs certainly is diverse. God bless him. What will Apple give us next?
Okay, well, there you go.
Is that along with the alligator story by any chance?
That his feet and his genitals overlapped?
So.
Good God almighty.
And that just teased the alligator.
Imagine seeing an alligator swim away with your buttocks.
I wonder if you'd even have the presence of mind to, like, shout for him to stop. Oh, good God. I need those buttocks. Bring them back. What happens if you lose your buttocks? Do you just sit on your spine?
But you look for a donor, I suppose.
You just have to sit on your coccyx.
Well, somebody would have to indicate, like on their driver's license, please donate my buttocks to society upon my demise.
Identifying characteristic is missing ass. All right. It's coccyx. It's 503-733-2970. There's really no way we can stop that. Here's what we should do. We should take a break. We'll come back. We'll do some more news. We have Steve Kastenbaum coming up from New York City. He's going to be talking about another place. It's all just missing buttocks and roaches and genitals today, and rats and alligators. So we'll talk to him about some of those things later on. Scott Daly will be here to review Zodiac. We'll have more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, and. Somebody has suggested this is either a great idea or a terrible idea. I really don't know which. Somebody has suggested that we just have Scotty do an ad hoc, an ad hoc version of his. We just have him come in here and just open the show that he sees himself doing. And just, you know, take a bank full of calls and just see how it works. We'll just sort of back out.
Let's
play him do an opening statement and go through a bank of calls or two. Just to see how it works. Let's ponder that and talk about it on the other side. You say it's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.